hear your favorite NFL legends sharing their stories and insights every week right here on Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari. Take it away, guys.
When the door is locked, there's no way out.
Now back in making his 12th appearance with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former Saints, 49ers, and Panthers defensive back and member of our 2016 Guest Hall of Fame class, Toy Cook. Toy first joined us back on March 1st of 2012, episode number 24. And here we are over 340 episodes later, still having Toy as part of the show. And it's been fantastic each and every time he has been a part of the show. It's 6-plus years now, so we can't thank Toy enough for his ongoing support. Toy's from Chicago, but attended high school out in Van Nuys, California, played his college ball at Stanford, where he starred in football and baseball. Was a member of their College World Series championship team back in 1987. He was a 3-year starter at defensive back for Jack Elway's team from 1984 to 1986. Drafted by the Minnesota Twins in the 38th round in 1987, but chose to play football instead. He was an 8th round draft pick by the New Orleans Saints that same year and played in the league from 87 to 97 for the Saints, 49ers, and Panthers. He was a member of the 49ers Super Bowl championship team in 1994. Toy was inducted into Stanford's Hall of Fame in 2014, and on top of being a great athlete, he's just a tremendous guy and very special to us. We are honored that he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Toy, Chris and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Welcome back, Toy.
Hey, Chris. Hey, Bob. How are you?
We're fantastic, Toy. How are you and the wife?
We're doing great. If it gets a little windy out here, but I'm outside and enjoying the remnants of Hurricane Rosa that never showed up, but be sure we're prepared.
Thank God that didn't happen. So hopefully all you're getting is a nice breeze tonight. So before we get into all the football stuff, Toy, I want to get your thoughts on the baseball playoffs. Know what a big Dodgers fan you are. We got Braves and Dodgers getting underway tonight. So how do you feel about the Dodgers' chances?
I mean, obviously, I like them. I can't watch them. I mean, I didn't even play for the Dodgers, but I much rather read about their success than watch their failure. So I do consider myself to be a fan. Luckily, there's Thursday night football on right now. But, you know, I feel good with the group that they've assembled. And I think Dave Roberts has done a fantastic job. So go Dodgers.
Toy, switching over to the NFL, I want to get your thoughts on some of the rules changes. You've got the new sack rule out there. You got defenses, you know, defensive backs, you know, your old position, guys trying to figure out how they're supposed to tackle and how not to get, you know, the helmet to helmet and all that sort of stuff. So over the last few years, it seems like the NFL has, you know, changed a lot of things, and some of it very good, trying to, you know, keep the game safer. But it sure has made, it seems like, defenses, you know, it's very challenging to them to be able to make plays and not get a flag. Your thoughts on what you've seen from the rules changes?
Yeah, Bob always gets me with these questions, the ones that get me really upset, in a good way. I'm just watching the game, and I'm watching Gronkowski run up the seam, unfeathered. And I'm thinking, man, they've taken the kill shot out of the game. That's a big component to stopping offenses, guys like Gronkowski. So that's now off the table, you know. You see, you know, the proliferation of all this yardage and attempts and the Drew Brees. Congratulations, Drew Brees. But you've heard me talk about this before. I really believe this is like the steroid era of football. Like, this is not, you know, if there's a 3rd and 15 on the left side of the field and the ball is incomplete and, you know, there's a flag and there's a hand to the face and it's 5 yards, that's an automatic first down. And I keep saying, each of these offenses, and these are all prolific quarterbacks playing right now, they're getting 6 offensive opportunities, more opportunities, I think, per game, at least per half. And if you gave those same 12 opportunities to Joe Montana and John Elway, that there's no telling, and all the other quarterbacks, Warren Moon, there's no telling what the records would be like right now. So great for these guys, but let's call it what it is. And it's a watered-down league. But, hey, I'm happy that it's being successful.
But Toy, to expand on what you just said, you talk about, you know, there's no kill shot. And what it seems like is there's no fear anymore for wide receivers or tight ends for going across the middle. right? Because if they get hit real hard, the referees are immediately going to pull the flag because it seems like he must have got hit to the head. So that's a flag. So it just seems like the middle of the field now is wide open because guys can't take that shot at him. So it just seems like, to your point, numbers are going to go through the roof because there just isn't any fear, the fear that used to be about that sort of thing back when you played.
That is, you're correct 1,000%. And once again, I understand the need to try to marshal and keep it safe, but we got to call it what it is. If you're not allowed to hit people running up the seams, that's like I talked to this with Rod Marinelli, the Dallas Cowboys. I was at the training camp. And I said, how do you keep your composure? I said the same thing to Mike Tomlin. How do you keep your composure on the sidelines when you see these calls? It's so hard to defend, Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. It's impossible to defend all these guys. And then, for some reason that has nothing to do with the play, they get another opportunity. I mean, that's like giving Tiger Woods two putts on every green.
Bob, questions for Toy?
Great to speak with you again, Toy. And I want to take you back again. We talked about this before, your time at Stanford. And, coming out of high school in California, obviously you knew there was going to be a tough schedule academically and athletically. And we're supposed to talk to the Yale coach next week. I've talked to him at length about it in the past, too. Not for everybody, not easy for everybody. How did you adjust, Toy?
I keep it very simple. I'm like Forrest Gump, right? Just show up on time, do what you're supposed to do, and stay out of trouble. And that's really, that was it. Like, hey, I show up where I'm supposed to show up. Don't be late. Stay out of trouble. And usually when I show up on time, good things happen. And we were talking about this, like, hey, you played two sports at Stanford, and that's really spectacular. And I go, it was, but I didn't play them at the same time, right? I was only playing one sport at one time. Granted, it was two sports, but look, if I only played one sport, you're still, it's a year-round process. So, and I appreciate people's appreciation for that, but really, it was still one thing at one time. And once again, to answer your question, it was really literally just showing up when I had to show up on time.
Good advice, Toy. And when you got to New Orleans, you spent 7 years there, and that to me, Toy, it's probably considered a type of a party town. Everything going, nobody sleeps there. How did you actually keep out of that kind of lifestyle, or was that overblown a little bit?
No, it was not overblown, and I didn't. I was involved in that. I was just lucky enough back then to not have gotten in trouble. It's a different time nowadays. I would have adjusted fine, but it was back then. I tell the story of how I got pulled over, and I didn't even say anything. I gave my driver's license to the cop, and on my license plate said Saintly. I might have told you guys this story, and I didn't even say one thing. And he like took my license and he said, Toy, what are we going to do this weekend? I said, we're going to win if you let me go. He goes, be safe. That would never happen nowadays. And I'm not advocating that you should be drinking and driving. But in New Orleans, it's hard to do that and not drink and drive. But they're doing a much – there was no Uber back then. And if you got a limo, you were considered like spending too much money, which if you think about it, that's ridiculous. It's been better to invest it in a limo than to drive around, but that's a whole nother story. But I was lucky once again. The good Lord had his hand on me and allowed me to make it through New Orleans unscathed.
And Toy, to expand on the talk about the Saints, they're off to a 3-1 start. I want to get your thoughts on them this year. Bob and I have them going far, at least to the NFC Championship game and perhaps coming here to Atlanta to the Super Bowl. What are your thoughts on what you're seeing from the Saints?
I think it's wide open. I'm a big Ram fan, it's so hard for me to say, but I really appreciate what they have put together. Trust me, I love New Orleans and I love Sean Payton and what he's all about. But the last time I seen a team this stacked was the 49er team, Super Bowl team that I was on. I mean, it always comes down to this. Can you stay healthy? It's all great and fine, but you got to stay healthy. We stayed really healthy throughout the whole year. The only person we lost was Richard Dent. So if that was a big one. We had Ricky Jackson to back him up. So the Rams are stacked. And if they can stay healthy, right, and now they're in a position where, like the Saints, everyone's playing for home field advantage. And I'm pretty sure that the Rams are already thinking about, we do not want to go to the Superdome. No one does. So I actually believe it's going to be, if they stay healthy, I think it's going to be a Rams Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl if everyone stays healthy. Because Patrick Mahomes is Brett Favre squared. I just said you can finally say it. I've never seen, like, Brett, I think his arm is stronger than Brett Favre's, and Brett Favre had one of the strongest. I've never seen a kid run full speed and throw the ball 20 yards down the line with, like, a foot to go. And that's like Aaron Rodgers stuff. But he can't do it at full speed. I mean, I hope people are appreciating what Patrick Mahomes. I just pray that he can stay healthy. It's a great story. But, Andy Reid has got his quarterback.
And, Toy, as you mentioned a moment ago, playing in the Superdome, I got to imagine you're right. I don't think anyone wants to have to go in there and try to get a win. Talk about what it's like playing in the Superdome when the team, like, some of the early, 1990s teams that you were a part of there in New Orleans. Talk about what the Superdome is like when it's rocking.
It was no question. It was a complete advantage, especially if you have edge rushers, which I don't know if you've talked to Greg Lloyd or he's coming up, but he's a disciple and benefactor of the Dom Capers, which it all comes from Steve Sidwell. Dom Capers was on that staff. Vic Fangio, who now, watch how many sacks Khalil Mack has under Vic Fangio, because that's the same defense that Greg Lloyd was very successful. You can ask him about it. That 3-4, right? Everyone that plays that outside linebacker position is successful. So trying to defend, Pat Swilling or Ronaldo Turnbull or Ricky Jackson, Sam Mills and those guys, and it's so loud, you cannot to the person next to you without shouting. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's just, look, Minnesota's the same way, but New Orleans, especially when it's a night game and they've had all day to drink, you can forget about it. you can forget about it. You don't want to get them started.
And Toy, I mean, you had such great success defensively anyway in 91, 92 with that Saints defense. You mentioned some of the guys that were on there, the Ricky Jackson, Sam Mills, Vaughn Johnson, Pat Swilling, probably one of the best linebacking cores of all time. Talk about what it was like teaming with those guys.
It was heaven. Obviously it's hard enough to cover guys and it's really hard to cover them when there's no pressure. And we see the effect of pressure on even the greatest quarterbacks. I always love it. He doesn't survive. He doesn't do well under pressure. I go, what quarterback in the history of quarterbacks, besides maybe Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers, and now Patrick Mahomes, survive? Joe Montana couldn't handle it. And he was one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. So the point of the story is it was much easier to play with that kind of heat coming off the corners. And I will acknowledge that I was, once again, I was blessed. I went to a team that was voted the greatest linebacking unit of all time. And I got to benefit from that and got to sleep, and I'm allowed to walk around with my head held high because I had a rush.
And Toy, those Saints teams, unfortunately, lost in the first round of the playoff. How much did that, and the opportunity that you looked at with the Saints to be able to go to a Super Bowl, how much did that play into your thoughts of going to San Francisco, taking less money, oh, by the way, to go to San Francisco and get that ring?
Well, I mean, all you had to do is look at the history of the NFL and know how hard it is to get to a Super Bowl. And when I saw the team that they had kind of put together, and this is Toy Cook, general manager, by the way. when I saw the team that they put together, I was like, oh, they're winning the Super Bowl. And so I'm going there. And I was correct. And that was the, I mean, you know, when you talk about rosters, once again, we've talked about this. Just go look at that roster. It's one of the all-time greatest teams that's been put together, in my opinion.
Toy, just a couple more before we let you go. Your alma mater, Stanford, off to a 4-1 start right now, ranked number 14, coming off a tough loss to Notre Dame. But how do you feel about their chances in the Pac-12 North Division and for the rest of the season?
I think it's going to be very, very hard. I think the game that they won against Oregon, which was a miracle, I think that 50% of their games are going to be like that in the North. I think the kid at Washington State, I think his name is Garrett Stedman, is a complete stud. He's Kurt Warner because of his background of playing in a bunch of offenses, and he's playing for Mike Leach. That's going to be tough. We know Washington is going to be tough. Chris Peterson, proven winner. Every one of his teams tough. And then we've got the toughest team, Utah, with Kyle Whittingham coming in this week. So we ran into a buzzsaw against Notre Dame and Ian Book, who is unbelievable. He single-handedly got out of five sacks by himself. We gave up a 100-yard-plus receiver. We gave up a 100-yard-plus runner. And they had a kid, number 99. Have four sacks in one game, and we dropped the first three third down passes, completions that would have gave us first down. So the good news is I think we lost early enough to Notre Dame. Game was at the end of November, so whoever lost the game was automatically out. We have a chance to run the table, and if we did run the table and won the Pac-12 championship, I think we would be in consideration for it, but I just think it's impossible to run the table. So that's my view.
Bob, one more for Toy before we let him go.
Sure. Toy, I wanted to ask you about one of your ex-teammates in New Orleans, because he was one of my favorite players and one of the most underrated players I've ever seen. And you went up against him in practice every day, and that was Eric Martin. This is a guy that caught almost 600 receptions, Toy, over 8,000 yards. Nobody that I know remembers him too well, because maybe he was playing down there and not getting the ink or whatever. But how was he to go up against, and what kind of teammate was he?
I just got a phone call the other day out of the blue from Dalton Hilliard, who's on a golf course with some clients. And as soon as the phone rang, I was just like, I hadn't talked to Dalton in, I don't know, maybe 2 years. But before that, it had been longer. I was like, D-Rock. And he goes, that's my guy, Toy Cook. I love you, right? And that same kind of unfeathered, tethered love that you have, that I have for Dalton in New Orleans, I have for Eric Martin. I haven't talked to Eric in I don't know how long, but he, like when I see Josh Gordon, because, you know, 6'3", 225, Eric was like, you know, 6'1", 215, but he was big. And you could not cover him. The stuff he used to do, it was so – there was a guy that from Stanford named Ken Marjoram that played for the Chicago Bears, Kenny Marjoram, who would do little things. Like if he was running out, he would look in. Like, you know, I know that doesn't seem like a lot, but people that pay attention, a lot of people look where they're going, right? So he would add those like little bitty – putting your hands up at the last moment or you're running – because guys would be next to Eric. He just would put his hands up. Boom, the ball's in there. And you never knew it was coming. And so the stuff that he did, and I don't think, you know, he gets a lot of credit, because it's not like he had – and I think Bobby Hebert and the people that were throwing to Eric were – I think I'm a big Bobby Hebert fan. But, you know, what Eric did was unbelievable. I mean, thank the Lord he's in the New Orleans Saints Hall of Fame. But once again – he's being penalized, just like Art Monk. It took forever to get Art Monk. He's being penalized for not that. You could double those numbers if he was playing nowadays. He'd be unstoppable. So there's my remarks on the great Eric Martin.
Great.
Tori, before we let you go, let our listeners know, how can they stay up to date with all the great things you're doing, both online and on social media?
All they have to do is listen to you guys. Stay up with Thursday Night Football. They can find me all time. That's all they got to do. Keep listening to your show.
There you go. Tori, we appreciate you so much. Thanks for taking time out of your night to come back and be a part of the show. We look forward to catching up with you again real soon.
Hey, anytime, guys. You know that.
You stay well, Toy.
Appreciate you, Toy. All the best to you
guys.
And your family, my friend. See
you,
Toy.
Too. Thank you. All right. Bye.
That is former Stanford, Saints, 49ers, and Panthers defensive back, Toy Cook. And, Bob, we've been very privileged to have Toy on the show now 12 times.
Yeah, and I get to play with such great defensive players and offensive players, and Super Bowl ring to show it, and he's a Hall of Famer in our book, and we always love speaking with that man.
Yes, we do. All right, we've got our next guest, Greg Lloyd, hanging on the line. We're going to get to Greg right on the other side of this quick station break.